Did you ever go to a sleepaway camp when you were a kid? Stay in a cabin or a tent in the woods? Go horseback riding during the day? And tell spooky ghost stories around the campfire at night? Did you ever wonder what your counselors did after you went to sleep? Because you know that there were ghosts in those woods. And someone, like your brave camp counselor, had to keep those ghosts from bugging you while you slept. Today, on Homespun Haints, we talk to Emily, who had to serve as a buffer between her little campers and some very sinister entities deep in the Michigan woods. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And it is Monday.
Is it now? Do your kids still have school, or are they out, like, no more classes, even though the classes happened at your house and you had to supervise
them? Oh, all the camps got canceled.
Oh, the camps got canceled. I mean, kids are weird little germ factories to begin with.
They really are. They're little petri dishes.
Put them all into cabins and have them interact 24-7 with poor supervision and poor hygiene quantity.
Sneezing all over each other and shitting in the woods. And
yeah. We never got to shit in the woods at camp.
Well,
what camp did you go to?
Archaeology camp. You just shat wherever you could. No, seriously. It's like, you know, I mean, I grew up hiking and going in the woods, but I really perfected the art of bathroom facilities in fields and behind trees and that kind of thing while I was doing archaeology digs and whatnot.
Wow. Yeah. The most adventurous place I've squatted was China. There's some parts of China that are like way, 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 way classier than the place I live now. But there are some parts of China that are still really, really old school. And I've pooped in them. And it was a challenge for my American ass, I can tell you that. My feet are very, very big feet for a lady. So the ladies' restrooms, usually the spots where you're supposed to put your feet while you're squatting, not so big. That was kind of my version of summer camp as an older kid. Like, it, as a younger kid, I went to the woods and ran around, did archery and horseback riding and stuff. I was kind of strong-armed into horseback riding by my mom.
Yes, you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this story about horse camp is kind of, I don't know, bringing up some PTSD for me.
Because, I mean, not only was she tending horses in a camp, but it was a haunted camp.
Exactly.
Well, we had plenty of dead bodies around us when I was an archaeologist, so, you know.
Well, that's true. Huh. Mm-hmm. Digging up tombs.
I mean, not intentionally. That would be wrong, but...
You know. Oh, but I thought that was part of the point.
Well, it depends on where you are.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So we're in North America, so that was completely unintentional when we found the body. So we went through the whole process of respectfully reburying her. And like, you wouldn't want somebody digging up your ancestors.
I guess.
Well, I mean, you and I probably wouldn't give a shit.
I really don't think I'd give a shit. I'm probably going to be dissected by medical students as a cadaver. So I'm
absolutely. I mean, I want to save on burial costs every way I can. Cut open my body.
See, keep the money of my life insurance policy, family. Yes, don't bury me. Just ship me off to the closest medical school.
Exactly. I can be on the body farm, you know, in Nashville, where they put out bodies and they just watch how they decompose. That's going to be me.
The ballistics body field.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why I'll end up haunting someone. Because my body will not be disposed of properly.
There we go. Medical donation for insured body desecration. It's pretty much guaranteeing you'll come back as a ghost.
It's a plan. How the fuck did we get on this topic?
Summer camp.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, we should probably bring on our guests before this goes too far.
Awesome.
Before we launch into Emily's interview here, we have another patron.
Yay! I think I know who it is.
Who could it be? You know.
It's one of my favorite people in the world. It's Amber.
Amber, thank you so much for being a patron.
Thanks, Amber. It's because of support from people like you that we can actually pay for hosting and things like that. Because otherwise it would come out of my kid's lunch money.
Lunch money? Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I make their lunches. If you like Emily's interview today, consider becoming a patron yourself. Because we actually took some additional stories that Emily told us that did not fit into this episode and made them into a whole patron episode only available to Patreons.
That's true. So if you just can't get enough of this story and you just need to hear more, you can do so.
There is more.
Oh, there's so much more.
So good.
So it's a really good interview. So.
Yeah.
If you're curious, it only costs a dollar to listen to this and all of our other Patreon exclusive content.
Exactly. And then for $3, you get swag.
Like major swag. Well, not like a Clydesdale or anything, but like a button and stuff.
Clydesdale.
I don't know what people consider major. I'm not a celebrity.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I don't know what it would take. Shipping a horse is expensive. We haven't considered that yet. We're really on the horse theme today. Must have something to do with an interview that's about to come up.
All right. Cool. Let's have Emily on.
On the show today, we have another podcaster, Emily Brown. She is the host of Practical Chaos. I did take a listen to some of your episodes today, and I really like your content. Please tell us a little bit about Practical Chaos.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be on the show, first off. So I want to say thank you. Practical Chaos is, we're all given unsolicited advice throughout our entire life. Being a mom myself, I focus on the advice moms get. Things like sleep when the baby sleeps, or it takes a village to raise a child. They're all said with the best of intentions, but it's still bad advice. And so I kind of, it is, it's just terrible advice. It's awful. So none of it is really practical. And so that's where the practical part of Practical Chaos comes in, is none of it's practical advice. So I take that advice, I break it down, and I make it into something that actually fits into a busy life and kind of just trying to do it all. I do everything from advice for moms to self-care. I did It's Okay to Show Your Emotions at Work. I did an interview with my husband where we talked about relationships based on you're only happy if you make your spouse happy. And so, so it's called Are You Happy Now? And so, that, so him and I kind of throw back and forth differences in relationships. I've been married for 8 years. I'm a military wife. So there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in my life. So I like to just kind of share that and let people know they're not alone when they feel like this advice is stupid and it just doesn't work.
I wish I had that when I had a newborn. I loved your sleep when the baby sleeps. I saw a great meme that my cousin posted a while ago that said clean when the baby cleans.
I do laundry when the baby does laundry. Like, right? I'm still waiting. I don't know. He hasn't started yet.
No, my first did not sleep at all.
Oh no.
And that's about when you slept, right?
It's when they sit there and they scream for hours at a time, and then they don't stop until you start to cry, because then they feel like their job is done. Of course, this is the time. And then you're too worked up to do anything. So you might as well go drink a bottle of wine and read a book and do whatever the fuck you want.
Right. Except when you're nursing, you can't. So you're like, oh, fuck, I got to sit here sober.
No, I don't know about that. I was in an antique store the other day, and I actually saw a baby gin bottle, like a gin bottle that had a...
Hey.
A little nipple on it? A
little nipple on the top for your baby, just in case.
You do what you got to do sometimes. Maybe it's gin.
So that was firsthand baby alcohol. I'm sure secondhand baby alcohol is nowhere near as sinful.
It's probably much better. Less frowned upon, for sure.
Even my OB was like, just don't drink that much. It's fine.
They're like, oh, you can drink a beer while you're breastfeeding. Does it hold the baby. If you can find the baby, you can breastfeed the baby. That's what I got. Right? So, you know, who knows?
Well, cool. Yeah, so your basic purpose is to cut through the platitudes and make them useful.
Exactly.
For new parents, instead of harmful in a judgmental kind of way that some people may feel when they hear these advice bits that were not solicited.
Yes, exactly. And definitely just letting them know that they're not alone when, you know, their baby doesn't sleep and they're sitting there crying and like, why won't my baby sleep? It's okay. Like, babies don't sleep. They didn't read all the books that you read before you became a mom. Sorry to tell you that. I had to learn that the hard way myself. And even going into a job and how to interview, how to just be in a workplace and different things like that. So I have a very wide range, a lot of moms for sure, but a very wide range as far as my audience goes and kind of what they're looking for. Yeah.
How could people find your podcast?
So I am on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. All of that is linked though. I have a website. It's just practicalchaospodcast.com. I have a blog there as well where I talk kind of about my daily things. I talk very heavily on mental health and kind of dealing with that as being a working mom and doing everything, so to speak. I'm on Spotify, Google Music, Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, I have gotten my podcast out to.
Well, everybody be sure you check that out. And in the meantime, Emily has a ghost story. When you first reached out to me and started telling me the story, I just got serious chills. Ooh. Diana, I didn't tell you anything about this because I wanted you to be surprised.
I don't know a thing. No.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be very exciting.
Yes. So Emily, I give you the floor.
Well, thank you. I've run into kind of crazy, creepy things my whole life. So I kind of just feel like I find them and I run into them. But the creepiest thing that I ever did is I actually worked for a haunted summer camp. So yeah, so there's probably about a dozen different stories that kind of surround the camp. But my own experience, I worked with horses. This camp's like just under 2,000 acres. So it's really big, has a lot going on. And we would do these campouts on the back of the camp with all the kids and the horses. And of course, you tell ghost stories. You're not supposed to, but that's what you do. You got to scare the kids. You got to tell a little ghost story. You know, that's why you got to stay in your tent, is because something's going to come get you. So don't come out. Just stay in there. The story that I was told that actually kind of spins into my experience was the back half of the camp was primarily unused for many years. And in the early 90s, there was actually a gentleman who was abducting women the next town over in a few towns within the area. There was a young woman who was abducted. They couldn't find her. They did everything they could, couldn't find her. And this was in like the middle of the winter. And this is in Michigan, by the way. So yeah, so middle of a very cold, very snowy winter. Police couldn't find anything. Then when summer came around, we have people who go out and they clear trails for the horses. Well, they went on this back part of the camp and there's this huge hill that kind of goes down into where there's a river that runs through the camp. And they saw this mattress kind of hanging out down by the river. And they're like, that's really weird. But they get people that dump stuff on that backside of the camp all the time. Paint cans, old Christmas trees, you name it. It's been dumped on the back of the camp. Well, they saw this really weird mattress. And when they got down there, the snow was still like thawing and stuff. And there was something down there. And it actually turned out to be this poor young woman's body. The gentleman had kept her back there. He had a van and he had this mattress in the van and would keep these women in this van before doing whatever he did with them. And this poor young woman ended up murdered on the back half of our camp. Yeah. So not the best thing to have for a camp. So it's not very publicized.
What time frame?
This was like early 90s, maybe right around 95, 96. I tried to find the exact story and I could not. For all I know, it could very well be mostly made up, but this is the story everyone on the camp tells. Even the older gentlemen tell about the time that they did find this poor woman's body on the back half of this camp. Fast forward some years, and it's like early 2000s, and I, young peppy Emily, am working at the camp, ready to go with the horses. And I lived in the most haunted building in the camp, is where all of the horse people lived. So we were called Wranglers. We lived in what was called the quarter house, which was an old slaughterhouse turned into a bunkhouse. Yeah, because this was a working ranch. And so it was an old slaughterhouse turned into a bunkhouse. So at night you could hear what sounded like chains rattling through the house. You would hear like little noises that were animals that were not living at the camp. We didn't have pigs there anymore. Like, we didn't have those sorts of things. So you'd hear all of that. So it was kind of just a normal occurrence. It was nothing weird to run into something strange. We had a camp out where we had fewer campers than normal. And so we all went out, we tell our ghost story. There was a woman murdered on the back half of the camp. And you need to be very careful when you go out on that side of the woods alone, because if you do, you might run into her and she's very angry and you don't know what will happen. So you'll see her, she's crying, she walks through the woods crying, you know, all this thing scares all the kids, right? I'm too old for that. So it is what it is. All the kids go to sleep. It was a Boy Scout camp. And so being one of very few women working at this Boy Scout camp, I got my own tent and it had a little zipper. I got the fancy tent. I woke up in the middle of the night and heard something. I wasn't quite sure what it was. It was kind of a rustling and kind of this like low noise. It's really hard to explain. It's almost like a moaning noise, but not quite. Very strange, kind of just low noise. And I was like, ah, raccoons. That's what it is. It's raccoons. While I was up, I figured, oh, I'll go walk over to the bathrooms real quick. There are just these really old outhouses about 200 feet or so from our main campsite. And that's where we told the kids not to go by themselves. And it was really just to encourage them to take a buddy, because that was the rule. You had to take a buddy with you to the bathroom. And at night, nobody wants to wake anybody else up. So I didn't wake anybody else up. I was like, I'll just go because I'm old enough. And so I walk over that way and heard more of that sound. And it was getting louder. And I was like, what the hell is that? It's like this little wooden building on the top of a hill. And at the bottom of the hill is the river. So you can kind of see where it's going a little bit. It's the middle of the night in the middle of the woods in Michigan. Very dark. Like I said, not even 200 feet away. We had a fire going. There was a gentleman sitting over there. We had horses tied up. So a lot of stuff still going on. And as I walk further away from them, I just keep hearing this noise. I was like, what the heck is that noise? Did one of the kids get over here and nobody noticed him? I walk to the outhouse on the top of the hill and I go to walk around it and the noise is getting louder. And I was like, how can nobody hear this? Like, how has this kid that's sitting by the fire not come over here and looked for these campers that are obviously missing? Why is nobody over here? I walk around literally just from one side of the building around to the other, and it's full on sobbing. Like, it sounds like somebody is just sobbing. Something terrible has happened. I kind of go down the hill just a little bit, and I see something sitting at the bottom of the hill. I go a little bit closer, and I'm not very brave. I should throw that out there at first. So I was like, I'll check it out a little bit before I go get something. I'm going to see, you know, what it is, because it has to be a camper. There's no other explanation. It has to be someone who's just been separated from the group, walked down to see the horses, because our horses were kind of down the other hill on the other side, walked away from them, had to have gotten lost. I walk down a little bit further, and it's just this tiny figure all huddled up and like hunched over. And as I get closer, I realize that it doesn't really look like any of my campers, because they were all much younger, so they were very little. And this is looking a lot bigger now. You know, there's longer hair kind of hanging out with it. And as I get a little bit closer, maybe about 50 feet away now, I realize that it's a woman. And that's when like my mind starts racing. I'm like, oh no, like what is happening? Did somebody get lost out here? Like, we're off of any of the main roads. The only way to get back here is to walk through these woods. Is it a different counselor? Like, did something happen? And right as I'm thinking all of that, this figure just goes from being hunched over to sitting straight up, stick straight, and then it just turns and looks at me with these eyes. They're like huge saucer eyes, and they're just completely glossed over, cloudy eyes, and there's just like tears running down what I can only describe as like a skull with like canvas stretched over it. No muscle or fat or anything, just like this really gaunt face. And then as like I make eye contact with this thing, it opens its mouth and just this like black hole in this like completely silent, but the emotions there, like there should be a scream, but there's nothing. And I was like, I'm going to die. Something's going to kill me. Like, what the fuck is happening? Suddenly, after a few moments of silence, it's just like this blood-curdling scream. Like you stabbed this person or something. It's just this terrible, awful, blood-curdling scream. And I turned around as fast as I could because, like I said before, I am in no way brave. That was as brave as I got. That was my kind of oh shit moment. Like, let's go check it out. That's the last Scooby-Doo mystery gang thing that I did before I turned it around. I booked it back up this hill. I'm like stumbling, going back up this little hill past this stupid outhouse. The door is like blowing in the wind. I slammed the door shut because I was like, no, we're not doing this today. I'm done with this. I'm like running as fast as I can, the 200 or so feet back to where the campfire is. And I can still hear behind me this awful scream. And I get within maybe 50 feet of where our campfire and like all of our tents are. And the scream behind me stops. It's just crickets and wind blowing and things like that. And I practically tripped right over the poor kid that was watching the fire. Like, I felt terrible. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. And I was like, are you serious? Like, you didn't just hear that huge scream come from the woods. There's something over there. And he's like, no, the only thing I heard was you running like a maniac saying, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. He's like, that's literally I heard you slam a door. And that's literally all that I've heard. And I was like, no, that's not okay. Like, you need to go check it out. You're a boy. Go check it out. You are a man. Go make sure there's nothing back there. And he's like, no, I don't do that. I'm sorry. That's not a thing that I do either. He's like, if you saw something, it can stay there or it can come find us here by the fire, not in the dark in the middle of the woods. And I was like, okay, fine. Then I'm gone. So I like dove into my tent and like zipped it up as fast as I could. And the rest of the night, I was like laying there wide awake, just listening, waiting to hear something like walk past my tent. Nothing. Nothing happened. Woke up in the morning. I asked a couple of the other, like, because we had about four or five of us would go on these campouts to watch the kids and the horses. Not a single one of them heard anything the whole night. None of the campers, none of the adults that were on this trip. Even the horses were all, when I got back, they're all just standing there. Like, there's nothing going on. Just like, do-do-do. Everything's good. Oh, so it's just me. I'm the only crazy one here. So that's a campsite we used all summer. And the rest of the summer, one, I never left my tent at night because that was not happening to me again. I never tended the fire by myself. I always made one of the other guys sit there with me. But I also never heard anything the whole rest of the time that I was at that part of the camp. So it was just the craziest thing. And I've heard a few other stories from other people, but none of them ever saw anything. They would all just hear the sobbing. And I guess none of them wanted to go find out what it was. So they all stayed where it was safe. And then I was dumb and happened to walk down the hill. And that was the biggest mistake I've ever made. That's the most terrified I've ever felt in my entire life. I really thought something bad was going to happen. It was awful.
I imagine.
Yeah, but you absolutely did the right thing, though. I mean, if it had been a real, you know, live person, you did the right thing. Just apparently unappreciated.
I know. How dare it scream at me? It could have at least said something like, hey, I'm good. This is what I do. I sit here and I cry. But no, I had to get the crazy giant eyes and big wide open mouth scream at my face. And it was terrible. It was awful.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's pitch black. And the entity that you saw crying was just a shadow. And then you were able to see its face afterwards. Did it glow? I mean,
well, what happened is so there was moon and like the moon was still out, but it was still like really shadowy because it's like a pine forest. So like it filters through a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then right where the river runs, there's no trees above the river. And so it was sitting off from the river a little bit. And was like just this shadow when I was walking towards it. And then when it turned, the moon bouncing off from the river kind of lit it up just enough where you could see that there was nothing as far as like, you know, you see a normal person even in the dark, you're like, oh, hi, like, how are you, person? You scared me. But like, this just looked like skin and bones, almost like just a skeleton just sitting there covered in a sheet is the best way to describe it. It had like hair. Like, I don't even know if it was a ghost, if it was some sort of demon. Because I'm also a firm believer that the more you speak something into existence, the more real it becomes. Mm-hmm. So it could have just been over, you know, the last 10, 15 years of that story being told. It could have just been something that is there now, which is even crazier to think. If it's a ghost, then I'm like, oh, no, it's a ghost. Like, that's really sad that this person is stuck there. But if it's like something hanging out there that kind of grasped onto this story and is now growing into something, that's even more terrifying.
Almost like a demon that manifested because of all the people's tales.
Well, because there's that whole thing with like Slender Man and all this, that right. It's, you know, you speak something enough, you put it out there enough, and it kind of turns into something real. I don't know if it's that or if it's an actual ghost that's stuck there. Over the years, a lot of the counselors have talked about hearing different things out in the woods. They'll see shadow off in the distance, but never anything close regarding that story. There's an entity that only the men have seen. Appears to be like a tall gentleman wearing a hat and like a duster. And they'll see him standing at the top of the stairs. And a few times, guys were like, yeah, you would see it. And then you'd close your eyes, pull your blanket up as fast as you can. And when you would look back, it'd be at the end of the bed. Yeah. Just like a shadow standing there at the end of the bed.
Sounds like the Hat Man, doesn't it, Becky?
Yes. I was just thinking, if you listen to season 1, episode 9, Have You Seen the Hat Man? It is probably our scariest episode yet. It is the reason I sleep with the lights on now. So check that one out and let us know what you think and see if it sounds kind of like this thing that these boys were seeing.
He could definitely be a Hat Man.
After you encountered this gaunt skeletal ghost demon thing by
Let's
the river.
Let's just call it a banshee because it's a banshee. Come on.
Okay. After you encountered the Michigan banshee.
Wait. Where in Michigan?
Just outside of Flint, actually. It's in a little town called Metamora.
I like that even more, the Metamora Banshee. Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, the school that I went to, we would see a little girl hanging out in the woods that didn't go to the school and was dressed in older clothes.
Ooh, wow. Tell me about this little girl. You and your friend saw her?
So I was probably 10 or 11 in Michigan. Lots of scary woods. Every piece of woods is scary in Michigan. I don't know why. It's just how it worked out. I don't know if we had heard the story somewhere, or if we had made a story up about the little girl who lived in the woods that drowned in the creek that was back. It wasn't even a river. It was like a stream of water. There's a story that started circulating that there was a little girl that drowned back there. And eventually me and my friends would go play. It was a field and then there was a fence. And through the fence on the other side of this little tiny stream of water, you would just see someone standing there, just like staring at the schoolyard. It was the creepiest thing ever. We even made one of our friends jump the fence and they found kids' shoes over there and weird stuff. And then they're like, no, I'm coming back. This is too much for me. We would see this little girl just standing in the woods and there were no houses or anything back there. Just like standing there.
Just staring at you.
Yeah. Staring like a dead stare straight ahead. Just staring.
How old were you?
I want to say like 10 or 11.
Okay. So you remember it pretty clearly.
It was definitely creepy. Maybe it was the same thing I saw in the woods when I worked for my camp, but it's all grown up. I don't know. It grew up.
Oh man, so you're definitely this like sort of reluctant ghost. It almost sounds like you're a magnet to him.
A little bit. I definitely attract some sort of something. So I've had a lot of creepy in my life, so I don't know if a willingness to believe is kind of what gets me into my trouble. I find some creepy a little bit of everywhere that I go. I can maybe go write a ghost story sometime.
I would read the ghost story about the creepy canvas face lady at Camp Crystal Lake or whatever that was.
Yeah, my banshee.
a lot of people say this ability to see things runs in families, but it also sounds like what you've seen is like so intense that everyone around you generally sees stuff too. Have you found that other family members have stories that would sort of indicate that maybe you inherited some sort of gift, as we call it in the South?
I mean, as far as that goes, like I said, I don't know if it just comes from like a willingness to believe in things or not, because everyone in my family is pretty open-minded when it comes to ghosts or kind of an otherness would be a good way to put it, because I don't necessarily believe in ghosts of people who've passed. I think it's all a much darker sort of thing. So I don't think people kind of hang around. I think it's a darkness that takes on a shape of something. And so I know my mom has kind of experienced a little bit. I don't know why I live where I live, but there used to be an abandoned asylum in the town where I went to high school and where my mother actually grew up. It's kind of like a Walmart or something. Like they bulldozed it. And it isn't there anymore, which is sad because it was probably super cool. Not that I'd have gone there by myself, but I'd have probably convinced 3 or 4 other people to go with me. But she went there a couple times and she would see somebody in the gatehouse or whatever you want to call it, the little security office. Mm-hmm. They would see someone in there through the curtains. She never went into the asylum itself, but my uncle did and heard weird things. It was just like this creepy sort of place. So it might be something that, like I said, either we're all too willing to believe in something, or it might be something more than that. Or we just find ourselves in creepy places too often because we follow too many people. Who knows?
So you say they made this into a Walmart? Have you, or some sort of super?
I want to say it's a Meijer, which in Michigan it's essentially a Walmart. So yeah, so I think that's what's there now. And a couple of other, I think they opened a few more stores. Since I've moved away from there, they've opened like a movie theater and a few other things over in that area. But it used to be an asylum.
I'm sure whatever they built there is haunted as fuck.
Probably. I worked at the Meijer for a little bit, but I didn't work very many nights there by myself. So
can't blame you.
Did you say this was in Flint?
So it's just outside of Flint. Outside of Flint, there's a town called Lapeer. And that's actually where I grew up and went to high school and where my mother grew up with all of her siblings. And then Metamora was just the next town over. Was actually where I worked with the camp. I try and avoid places that I'm told are haunted. Like I would love nothing. Like, I think it does sound super cool to like go to, you know, they do the asylum, like ghosts, especially when we were living right there by Pennsylvania and all that. They have so many of like these ghost tours. And I was like, oh, that would be so cool. But I'm going to end up with something. And I don't need that because I'm not religious enough to like exercise anything to be able to get rid of anything like that. Like, I'm going to have to go like live in a church after this. And I'll probably end up in a haunted church with my own luck.
There's plenty of those. Yeah.
Oh, I believe it.
Crypts in the basement. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I said, I would end up as that. You would see the movie and it would say based on a true story. And that's my life. Is this horror movie based on a true story? You see enough Emily's in scary movies anyway. I don't need to star in my own. I think I'll be okay.
My husband, I can't tell if he believes anything I tell him or not. He just keeps saying, don't bring anything home. He's like, I'm Jewish. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to exorcise a ghost or a demon. Yeah, he's gone through and like found old texts, like looking for Jewish exorcisms and stuff, like just in case. I actually, I had a listening party in October for our Halloween episode. And my office it's a block away from an extremely haunted cemetery here in Georgia.
Oh.
And it's ancient and it's so funny because all the houses around there are also very cute. And my husband's like, hey, would you ever want to live here? And I'm like, there's bodies buried under these houses.
I've seen the poltergeist.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. There actually are. They've determined that. They've done like sonar and stuff. No. So I took after we listened to this podcast, I took this group of friends that agreed to do this with me to the cemetery at night. I checked with the city first to make sure it was legal, and I dragged them through there. And I met with lunch last week with somebody who came with me, and he's apparently his roommate's really sensitive and has been complaining about what he brought home from the cemetery.
Oh, no.
Since October. So apparently you could do that. It's a thing. So just be careful. Well, thanks, everybody. That's our show. And thank you so much, Emily, for coming on today and telling us your stories. Emily is the host of the podcast Practical Chaos. You can check that out and find it anywhere you get this podcast. Also, be sure you subscribe to our podcast, Homespun Haints, if you haven't done so already. And be sure to check out our website, homespunhaints.com, for show notes on this episode and links to Emily's website and social. You can also find us on Facebook at Homespun Haints and on Instagram at Homespun Haints. And if you haven't done so, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/homespunhaints. Surprise, surprise. We have a lot of great content on there for our patrons, and we do post things for everybody in the general public there from time to time. So it's worth checking out. Thanks again, Emily. Really appreciate you coming on today. It was fabulous.
Thank you, Emily.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was so much fun, and I'm glad the stories came out well.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to our show, and for all our listeners, have a spooky day.